We continue our series on Turning Point, and this morning we are in Esther. And I hope you remember Esther from Sunday school, do you? If not, then this is a great time to refresh your memory because it's one of the great stories of the Bible, and Esther is one of the great heroes of the Bible. And I just want to set up this scripture verse. We are in Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. But basically, King Ahasuerus, who is also known in history as Xerxes I, has basically been tricked by a man by the name of Haman to put out a decree that will annihilate all the Jewish people. And the word gets out to Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, who is now queen along with some other queens, but she is being asked to intervene on behalf of the Jews. And so we pick up Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there had been great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay to the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for the annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence, to beg for mercy and to plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal province know that from any woman or man who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned to the king was but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will be escaped. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family, your father's family, will also perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this message to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I will go with my attendants and fast as well. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at "for such a time as this." I don't know if you ever heard this phrase, but it comes from this story. First, I want to begin with something a little humorous. Have you ever been at the wrong place at the wrong time? Is that ever happened to anyone besides me? So, and there's some funny stories out there. One was from Lakeland, Florida, down close to where my mother lives, and it was a few Christmases back, but these four teenagers around Christmas time were trying to hotwire this van and steal it, and just go for a joyride, and so they didn't realize that it was an unmarked police van. And when they opened the van, they found three police officers on a stakeout. So. Didn't turn out as well as they thought. Saw this other one on TV shows one time. It's sort of a live-action camera and all this stuff. And so this guy was being chased by the police, and he scales this fence to get away, only to find out that he just scaled the fence of a prison and ended up inside the prison. So didn't go well for him either. Well, anyway, so to share my own brush with the law with you that I don't think I ever have before, it was in high school, the first time I had a brush with the law. And I had money to go to the basketball game, right? But I met some other guys. And you probably know how this goes down. And I asked them what they were doing. They said, "We're going to sneak into the basketball game." And then they asked me, "Hey, are you going to sneak in?" I said, "Well, I got money to get in." They went like, "Who cares? Are you, here's the words, are you chicken? And then we dare you And then, of course, the double dare. I said, okay. All right. They said, you know, after you can take that money and you can spend it on extra candy or whatever. So, all right, no problem. I'm not a chicken, and I'm taking up your dare. So there was a door that was supposedly left unlocked from the gym class, right? So we snuck around back. It's all dark. And sure enough, the door was left, you know, unlocked. And so we snuck in, and we were about halfway into this dark, big room, and all of a sudden, flashlights turn on. And you hear this, halt, who goes there? And there's three police officers. This is my first time. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, what are my parents going to say now? So they said, stay right there. Well, I mean, I was taught to listen to the police, so I stayed right there. Everybody else took off, right? So fortunately, they went in different directions. So the police officer sees me, and he says, okay, wait right there. I'll be back. And so he takes off. All three police officers go in different directions. I don't know where they went because it was all dark. So, you know, so I waited there and waited there and I waited there, and it was in the dark. And I thought, well, how long am I supposed to wait? You know, after all, I did obey the law. So after about 10 minutes, I thought, you know, this must be God sparing me. So I slipped back out the door, went around, and I paid my money. Never been so happy to pay to get into a basketball game. So I don't know if there's still a warrant out there. Because my father used to be on the scuba rescue team with the police, so I thought, oh, my God, he is going to really be after me. So that was my first brush with the law. There's others. They'll remain stories for other days. Nothing real serious. But in any case, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Ever happened to you? Ever been the wrong? Go ahead. You can tell me about your brush with the law later on. But anyway, there's also the case that sometimes we are in the right place at the right time to do something special. Something extra special we may never have dreamed about, and such was the case with Esther, even though she didn't realize it at the time. So I invite you to walk back into this story this morning. Esther's story is one of the most amazing stories in all the Bible. Esther became a queen because she won a beauty contest. Now, I know that's not, you know, amazing in and of itself, but she was a Jewish gal, young Jewish gal at the time, and this was a great Persian king, Xerxes I, and so she was beautiful, and she became queen, and really didn't see her family, right? But then at one point, this person by the name of Haman, who was really evil inside and out, had been devising a plot to have the Jews killed. And so he told the king that all those conspirators were Jewish, and he needed to get rid of them, right? And so he kind of slipped this edict in front of him. He had paid off some other officials and said that the money would go into royal treasury. That was so it was reported, at least, you know, how this sort of thing goes, and it was underway. Well, Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, hears about it. He gets a copy of this edict. He gets the exact amount of money, so he's not going with rumor, and he goes and he has this time of prayer in sackcloth. He's only allowed in so far to the city because not within certain distance from the king's royal palace, and he begins to put on this prayer of fasting time and really sort of just outright praying so fervently that it caught the attention of everyone. Well, Esther hears about it and sends a messenger out to Mordecai, her uncle, and says, hey, what is going on? And so he shares with her this story. He says, listen, this plot is coming down from Haman, and he is going to kill everyone. Here's a copy of the edict, and will you go before the king and ask and plead for the people's lives? So she hears this, and she sends back this message and says, listen, if you go before the king and you've not been called to the king and he doesn't extend the royal scepter, it doesn't matter who you are, even the queen, your life will be taken. And she says, he's not called me for 30 days. And Mordecai sends back this message and says, listen, don't think that you will be spared just because you're part of the king's household. And he says, but who knows that God hasn't placed you in just this position for such a time as this. And so Esther sends back this brave message, and she says, have everyone pray and fast for 3 days, and I myself and my attendants will do it also, and then I will go before the king, and if I perish, then I perish. Amazing, isn't it? What a great story. And it turns out the story is that she does go in before the king, and he does extend his scepter, and she pleads for the lives of the Jewish people. The king really didn't understand the spin of the story. Maybe it's one of those ones where, you know, they're just putting in front of the king, they, you know, sign this, sign this, sign this. And he realizes what he's done, and he has Haman, who was the author of this plot, executed instead. And Esther, is recognized as the true hero that she is, one of the great heroes of the Bible, Esther. And I think it's amazing. And when you think about your own life, maybe there's a moment when you have been put in a place, not the wrong place at the wrong time, but who knows that God hasn't put you in the right place at the right time. And it isn't always in church. Sometimes it's just exactly where we work and where we play, where we're at school, and even sometimes online, because there's some online bullying going on. And so people can intervene in amazing ways. I was thinking about this story this week, and some of the people that came to mind who were heroes that were in the right time at the right place. And I remember Malala. Do you know her from, she was the gal over in Pakistan who stood up when she was 11 years old in 2012, and young girls were not allowed to have education. She stood up for the right, for education. And for that, she was shot in the head by one of the Taliban, and she survived. She was just that tough. And she went on to keep speaking on behalf of young women and the right to be educated in every culture and every place and equal rights for everyone. And in 2014, I believe it was, when she was 20 years old, I believe, she became the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Prize. Pretty amazing, isn't it? She was willing to have courage, not just to speak up for herself, but to speak up for all the young girls around the world. She's written a book and become just an incredible person. She was and started at 11 years old on this amazing journey. I think of another person. This past week we celebrated an anniversary of 9/11. My sister lived in Somerset, Pennsylvania, very near where Flight 93 went down. And I recall she was called to the site. There weren't any survivors. The hospital was on emergency calls. They searched for people. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out there were any survivors. But I remember how personally that touched me, as well as all the other stories. And I know all of you have been impacted in some ways. But one of the stories of heroism that came from that was Todd Beamer, who was on Flight 93. And he didn't realize exactly what was happening, but they knew something was going wrong as the plane kept changing directions. And he called a GTE operator by the name of Lisa Jefferson, and she began to explain what had happened in New York City and also in Washington at the Pentagon. And he began to share back that he believed that they were headed somewhere to also do the same thing. And so he was with a group of people, and most of the hijackers had made their way into the cockpit. And he said, "We're going to go ahead and rush them to make sure nothing happens to anybody else." And then she said this prayer as he asked that she send a message to his wife and kids. And she led them all in prayer. And then they, of course, rushed the cockpit. The flight, of course, crashed into the hillside in Pennsylvania. But it was averted, we believe, from somewhere in Washington. It may have even been the White House or the Capitol building. We don't know for certain. But he was willing to be a hero that day. And Lisa Beamer, his wife, wrote this amazing book called Let's Roll, because that's the words that he last uttered before they went. He said, "Okay, let's roll." And they went and charged the cockpit and did their best. And she said, "Listen, a lot of people say that my husband became a hero on that flight that day. And what I want you to know is my husband walked on there as a person of faith and a hero the day he walked on the plane, not when the plane was in flight." And I think for a lot of us, there's everyday heroes all around us, and that was what she was pointing out. And that hero may be a young girl, maybe a young queen, maybe someone who's rich or poor, young or old, but many times there's heroes all around us, and we don't realize it until there's a critical incident. And sometimes it's in the news, and sometimes it isn't in the news. I'd like to say, too, that Lisa Jefferson, who was the operator who prayed and said the Lord's Prayer, as Todd Beamer had requested her to do, and all the people who surrounded her there in the that office for the telephone company said that prayer together, as well as the people on the plane. And she was a hero, too, because she listened, she carried that message, and she was willing to do everything she could that day. Well, as I said, sometimes circumstances aren't as dramatic as that. But you all hear stories every day, stories of people being bullied online or bullied at school. You hear of incidents where people are not given equal rights at work or in society as a whole. We know incidents where someone just needs someone who can sit down and care as someone shares. Every day, you and I might find, if we really look close enough, that we're really in the right spot at the right time at the right place. And I love those words that Mordecai spoke to Esther, and you hear it a lot today, but who knows that you're not there for such a time as this. Where might the Holy Spirit whisper to you today and the days and weeks ahead, whether at work or school or play, whether in your home even? Who knows, but you're not there for such a time as this. The Holy Spirit is moving everywhere, not just in church. And you and I, whether it's a time like this or some other time, every day God needs someone to speak a word of love and forgiveness and grace to those all around us if we only open our eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to show us that. And so as we celebrate Rally Day today, when we celebrate the lives of our kids and all the future they have, and we celebrate our Sunday school and all of our teachers, both the kids and adults and everything, and celebrate a renewal in the church, I challenge all of us to think about where God might be whispering to us that we are in the right place at the right time and the right moment for such a time as this. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about Esther, this young heroine, this young gal who found herself at a place where she could go and plead for the lives of the people of Israel, who was willing to lay down her life in an amazing way, and how you were there in that moment, we are thankful for her life and all the lives that she was able to spare. We're thankful for heroes, young and old, everywhere in our world today and all throughout the course of history. But we also want to look around the room and even in the mirror at ourselves and realize that we are all heroes, or can be, if we follow the leading of your Spirit. Help us to realize that we might be in just the right place at just the right time if only we'll listen to the whisper of your Spirit and lead into you for strength. So help us to do so through your power and to your glory. And all God's people said, amen.